baby, January took its time getting out of here. February came and saw who was all over there and they left. But March feels like a combination of both January and February. I mean, time is flying, but my days are so long and the week takes forever to end. Like, do y'all understand what I'm saying? I don't know. But hello, geniuses. Welcome to another episode of the Own Your Genius podcast, where we empower entrepreneurs to use their education and their experience to create dope stuff. I'm your host, attorney LaKonya Murray. So last week, I did a little peopling. You know, I attended Allies and Access held by the Montgomery Chamber, which was hosted by Sharice Stokes, who is the executive director of Tech MGM, and Dr. Nicole Thompson, who is the executive director of the Lab on Dexter. It was a beautiful setup. It was also motivating and educational. Like, the whole experience in the event was just top notch. This is the third year that they've hosted this event. I would definitely be attending next year. And I encourage any of my listeners who are in Alabama to make sure that they come. It is an event for professional women, business women, and you will not be disappointed. I walked away with not only feeling empowered, but with a few more connections and tips that I was able to execute before even leaving the building. It's just what I needed, especially with the day that I had just one day prior. Welcome back to the Own Your Genius podcast, where we discuss building businesses, growing brands, and what else? Owning your genius. I'm your host, attorney LaKonya Murray, owner of Off The Mark IP Solutions. Off The Mark is a boutique intellectual property firm representing innovative entrepreneurs, aka geniuses, who are looking to protect their brand and grow their business with ongoing legal support and business mentorship. We have a good one for you today, so let's get started. So listen, if you have been around for a while, then you know that I've always considered myself to be a small business advocate because of the work that I do for my clients. Last year, I wanted to step it up a notch and really step into that role as advocate. And I became the advocacy chair for the Alabama chapter of NABO, which is the National Association of Women Business Owners. That was really thanks to Dr. Titania Adams, who invited me to join NABO and encouraged me not to just sit there, but to participate. And yeah, I'm glad she did. So shout out to you. My goal with this is to be able to keep an eye out for legislation and policies that affect small business owners and be able to inform them so that business owners can make the necessary steps to protect their interests. What happened on Tuesday that made Wednesday just a welcoming experience? Let me tell you what happened on Tuesday. Tuesday, I attended my first legislation public hearing. Yeah, that's right. First of all, let me tell you about this public hearing. The hearing was called one day before. And it was held on Super Tuesday. Does that sound suspect? It sounds suspect to me, especially when you realize that these hearings are typically held on Wednesdays. So you waited till everybody was distracted to host this public hearing. Okay. So what was this bill that the House was considering that they had to be so super, it wasn't secretive because it's a public hearing. They let people know, but they were just moving in ways that they typically don't move in. So what was this bill? They were considering bill SB 129. So what is this bill we talk about? What they wanted to meet about? Let's talk about it. So it's a bill relating to diversity, equity, and inclusion to prohibit certain public entities from maintaining diversity, equity, and inclusion offices, from sponsoring diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, to provide prohibitions on the promotion, endorsements, and affirmation of certain divisive concepts in a certain public settings, with exceptions to provide certain circumstances that are not prohibited, to require public institutions of higher education to designate restrooms on the basis of biological sex, and to authorize certain penalties for violation. That is the bill, the introduction to the bill. Those are their words, not mine. And when I attended this hearing, I heard everything from not wanting to be forced to participate in discussions that they did not agree with, to fear that young white males will grow up being labeled racist and oppressive, to conversations that made people feel uncomfortable. Like, literally, one of the House members said that he was voting for the bill because he participated in a DEI training and they were asking questions and it made him feel uncomfortable. And no one should ever have to feel that uncomfortable. Really, sir? No one should ever have to feel that uncomfortable. Well, how about we just change? You know what? Never mind. Never mind. So, despite having an overwhelming amount of people that were there in opposition of the bill, of course it passed, 4-2. But I think the thing that got me is that it was really just an emotional passing. Like, the bill was passed and the bill was written out of emotions and feelings. This bill was passed without any type of consideration of the economic harm that result from it. There's a growing body of research that supports the benefits of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, and studies show that companies with diverse workforces tend to have higher levels of creativity, innovation, and financial performance. For example, there's a report by McKinsey and Company that found that companies in the top quarter for gender diversity in their executive teams were 21% more likely to experience above average profitability than companies at the bottom. Really? These are numbers that should have been considered. And at the same time, companies that were at the top quarter for ethnic and cultural diversity, they were 33% more likely to outperform their peers on profitability. And just from experience, being a part of a diverse group, learning about people who have experiences different from you, it's really beneficial. I know that I'm in a program and we had to do an assignment where we were lost at sea and we had to grab 15 items, rank them in order of priority to keep us safe while we were lost at sea. Maybe I've never been in the ocean on a boat before, so I did not know. But working with my team members who had variety of experience and backgrounds, we were able to survive. So together, we can go far. They're passing this bill in Alabama. And my question is, what happens to these companies who value DEI programs? They seek to do business in the state. A state where, according to this bill, state funding can't be used in support of diversity, equity, or inclusion. So does that mean that they won't get the tax breaks that they would normally get because they offer diversity programs? These are things that were not considered. But I'll tell you this, my biggest takeaway from this public hearing is that representation matters, and so do allies. People who may not be personally harmed by this bill, but stand up against it anyway, because they recognize that it is, in fact, harmful. And another thing that I noticed is that a lot of people were all up in arms about the way this bill was moving, how fast the public hearing was, things of that nature. But what I learned was that this is not atypical. Whenever they're trying to pass something like this, they typically move like that. But we just don't know about it because it doesn't affect us. And because it doesn't affect us, we turn a blind eye when we really need to be allies. We're asking for allies for us, but we also need to be allies to other people who need our support. And I know that this bill, this SB 129 bill, is written as an education bill, but I tell you that it is really part of a bigger agenda. Have you guys heard of Fearless Fund lawsuit? So the Fearless Fund provides early stage funding for businesses owned by women of color. And there's a conservative group called American Alliance for Equal Rights. They filed a lawsuit last fall against the Fearless Fund, arguing that some of their programs discriminate against people of other races. Yeah, so I feel like there's a literal attack on including diverse people and bringing them into spaces that are typically reserved for non-diverse people. It's just like they don't want us here. Like, you're interrupting, you're changing things, you're making me uncomfortable. And I keep talking about this word uncomfortable because that's, if you read the bill, you can just see that's what it is. One of the things that stood out to me when I attended the Allies and Access event on Wednesday, you know, last week, is that one of the speakers said that basically when women show up and then when women of color, when we show up as our full selves and we don't reduce ourselves, it makes white males uncomfortable and they don't know how to deal with being uncomfortable. And she made the suggestion that we keep showing up so they can get used to us because they don't know how to be uncomfortable. But what I'm realizing is that when certain people with certain power and authority are uncomfortable, they don't just sit there and take it, right? They don't just keep letting you show up in their spaces. What they do is they go and they make laws so that they don't have to be uncomfortable, because as the guy said, no one should ever have to feel that uncomfortable. So they go out and they make laws to change it so they don't have to worry about being uncomfortable. So when it comes to this Fearless Fund case, my question is, who's hearing this case? It's a federal case, so the judges are appointed by the president and they're confirmed by the U.S. Senate. And my point is this, that elections matter, both on the federal level and especially on the local level, because who we're sending to Congress to represent our interests, it matters. Who are we going to send and what do they stand for? So this year is an election year and not just a presidential election year. There are 435 United States House seats up for grabs and there are 33 Senate seats. More importantly, local elections where people will be elected to make decisions that directly affect you are happening. And it's important to make your voice heard, not just personally, but on matters that affect your business. And I know that people make small businesses seem like they're unimportant. You know, that's your little business you're doing, you know, all that stuff. But what does the data say? According to the SBA, 99% of businesses are small businesses. Say what? And small businesses employ almost 50% of the U.S. workforce. So to me, I don't know about to you, but to me, it sounds like we have power. It sounds like my small business matters. It sounds like I need to be more intentional about who I elect to represent me, my interests, and that of my business. And the best way to do this is to stay informed and to stay engaged. So it's not enough just to know who the candidates are. You need to keep up with their policies. You need to know how they're going to impact businesses and small businesses. Attend local town halls. We're actually having a town hall here in Montgomery today. Today from 11 to 12:30 at the Lab on Dexter. If you have not registered yet, registration is closed. But keep an eye out. We do plan on taking the show on the road. But attend local town halls, attend debates, read reliable news sources, people. Get different viewpoints. Don't stay committed to reading things that are biased and you know they're biased, right? Get some reliable news sources. And engage in discussions with other business owners and community members to understand different perspectives, because I promise you that it is very important to have those different perspectives, because sometimes people bring up issues, or maybe there's an issue that you thought you understood and you saw one way, but then someone brings up a point and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even consider that. So have conversations, talk to people. And I think by being informed, you can make an educated choice that aligns with your business interest. So thank you for tuning in to this episode of Own Your Genius. I know that this was me being a little bit on my soapbox. I appreciate you hanging in there. Remember, every vote matters. And as a business owner, your voice can influence policies that directly impact your business and community. Whew. So geniuses, what are your takeaways from this week's episode? If you found today's episode insightful, share it with fellow entrepreneurs and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Let's take this conversation over to the Mark Legal community. I want you to share this episode with three people and have them meet you there. But you know what to do before you go. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and rate the podcast. Until next week, I want you to keep building your business, growing your brand, and owning your genius.